Father, I pray that we would be humble and reverent and in awe of you. Pray, Lord, that you would forgive us. Every one of us falls short, Lord. I thank you that your blood is sufficient. We ask that you'd forgive us for all of our sins, Lord. I ask that you would open your word and help us to rightly divide it. And I pray that we would allow it to change us, to allow the Holy Spirit to move in a mighty way. I'm not able to open it. It's your word. And we ask that you would open it and proclaim it. And I pray that we would allow it to touch our lives. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. If you have your Bibles, we're in Luke chapter 5 and starting into chapter 6. You know, sometimes there are people who try to do good things and they start off with good intentions, but they get so messed up, they get things so backwards, so twisted, they start calling things that are good evil and things that are evil good. They get so messed up. And it happens. It happens. It happened with some of the Pharisees. I think there were some of the Pharisees that truly had good hearts and were trying, but there were some that were really got really messed up. And I think it happens sometimes today, even inside of the church. They just start getting things so backwards, so twisted. You got to make sure you have your eyes set and going off the true baseline, palm line, if you will. So Jesus had just called Levi, a tax collector who was despised and hated. And for time's sake, we're going right in. It starts in verse 33. They said to him, "John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking." Well, if you remember, he's talking about John the Baptist. If you remember, John the Baptist, when he was eating locusts and honey. So when he fasted, that had to be intense. You with me? But John's, in seriousness, John's schedule, from what I was reading, was pretty rigid, and he was busy, a lot of things going on, and they did fast. And the Pharisees fasted twice a week. In fact, you can look in Luke, you can see where Jesus is talking about them, and he talks about the one fasting twice a week. Now, Mosaic law said that they needed to fast once a year. It was the Day of Atonement that was required that they fasted that time. But the Pharisees, what happened was, as they started adding a bunch of laws, their own tradition and rituals and legalism on top of what the Bible said, what the Scripture said, they used the Pentateuch, they used the first five books of the Bible a lot, and they pulled a bunch out of there, and then they added all these other rules and laws and restrictions to it. And so now, by their rules, they were required to fast twice a week. Jesus' disciples were going to banquets, right? They were eating. And these guys didn't like it. They couldn't understand what was going on. How come your disciples can go hang out and eat and have a good time, and ours? So they were getting on Jesus. But yours go eating and drinking. Real quick, fasting. I mean, what is fasting? Often, when you know it's giving up something, most people automatically think food. Food is really one of the most common ones, but it can be other things. You can fast from other things as well. Why do you fast? You see, fasting is a heart thing. It truly is a heart thing. Jesus said this in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. He said, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do. For they disfigure their faces to show men they're fasting," right? They're looking all sad because they want the praise of men. It's their heart. "I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." It's your heart. Listen. If you're fasting, you're going around telling, "I'm fasting today," and you're trying to get the empty praise of men, you've already got your reward. But if you fast in private and you're doing it for spiritual growth, that's a whole other thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. But I think people get the mis conception of what fasting is. I think sometimes what people think is this. Okay, I'm going to give up food today. I'll give up eating at Wendy's this week. Whatever. Right? I'm going to give up food today. I'm going to burden myself and hurt. It'll hurt me because I like to eat, right? I'm going to give up food for the day, and God will realize what a righteous, wonderful person I am, and he'll listen to my prayers. I'll change his mind because he'll see how wonderful I am, right? I mean, nobody would say that that's what they're thinking, but that is the complete wrong concept of fasting. Fasting is when we stop and realize that he is the most important thing in the world. More important than food. More important. And what it does, it's all to focus us back. For time's sake, we're going to shorten this up. The Sabbath, fasting, prayer is to bring us to him. It's all to focus us to him. That's what it's doing, to bring us near to him. Prayer is communication with the King of Kings. Fasting is for us to help refocus our brain on him, because we put it on everything else. So it's to help us refocus on the true throne, the true king, the thing where we should have our focus. Fasting's a wonderful, beautiful thing done with the right heart. What's your heart? What it comes down to, this sermon today is about what's your heart, what's your motives. Jesus answered, "Can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and in those days they will fast." Who's the bridegroom? Jesus. He's saying, look, I'm with them. This isn't the time. There's going to be a time. When he says I'll be taken away from them, what's he talking about? After the death, the resurrection, then the ascension. He says, after I'm gone, that's when they need to fast. But I'm with them now. This isn't the right timing for them to fast. In Jewish culture, when they would have a wedding, it was a week-long celebration. It was a party. They celebrated for a week. When you went for a week. You got to eat on somebody else's dime for a week. It was a good week. I like to eat. He told them this parable. So he's saying, look, this is the time for them to be with me. This isn't the time for them to fast. They're going to fast later. He told them this parable. You know, a parable is he's trying to get across an illustration, a point. He uses things out of common life, out of nature, out of things that they would know, things they'd understand, to prove a point to them. He says this. He told him this parable. No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it in an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment, and the patch from the new will not match the old, right? Because they're two different things. They look different, right? You put a new fender in an old car, does it look different? Okay. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the new wine will burst the skin, and the wine will run out. And the wineskins will be ruined. What happens is this, real quick. They would put new wine in a new wineskin because the skin would be flexible, would be able to stretch. The old wineskins have already stretched. They're not flexible anymore. They're brittle. So if you put new wine in there, and when it ferments, when it stretches, it breaks. They would have known this, right? And no one, after drinking the old wine, wants the new, for he says the old is better. Listen, what he's saying is the old is better. He's not saying that it's better. He's saying that's what they're thinking. He's saying they want to stay in their old ways, their old ruts. You know what a rut is, right? We've talked about that before. A rut is a grave with the ends kicked out. If you're in a rut, you're dead because you're in a solid spot, right? You're stuck. What he's teaching them is this. My understanding of this parable is this. He is bringing them something new. It's the gospel. It's grace. But they are so wrapped in their legalism that they miss it. And he's trying. I believe he loves them. He loves them. Even though they despise him because of their jealousy and their envy, he still loves them. And he's reaching out to them. So he's honestly trying to teach them. He wants them to open their heart. And what he's trying to show them is that there is grace. There's grace. And he says, you know, you can't mix it in with the old. You can't put this grace in with your legalism. It doesn't work that way. That's what he's trying to teach them. Do you see it? You with me? Okay, we got like five people still awake. Do you get what he's saying? Because what they do is they try to do that. People today still do it. This still applies today. Are there people today in the church who have golden calves, quote unquote? man, don't sit in that seat. That's, oh, no, we're going to make this way because that's the way it's been done for 100 years. Don't know why, but that's the way it's been done. We're going to do it. He's talking about grace. He's trying to teach them grace and says it's not going to mix with what you're doing. You need to open your heart and see what's going on here. Going on, chapter 6, it says this. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick some heads of grain and rubbing them with in their hands and eat the kernels. Some of the Pharisees asked, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Okay, this is the deal. Shortened version. Them going through the fields and picking the grains was not wrong. That was not illegal. Deuteronomy 23:25 says that they're allowed to do that. You're allowed to walk by somebody's field and pick so much as you eat it, right? That's not, you couldn't drive a combine in. Not that they had them. I mean, you couldn't harvest it, but you could drop and eat when you're walking by. That was legal. What was illegal was they did it on a Sabbath, and when they did it on a Sabbath and they rubbed it in their hands, they considered it harvesting. And you can't harvest on the Sabbath. Again, what they did is they took what the Bible said, what the scriptures, Old Testament scriptures said, and they added all their little regulations. You could only walk this far, you could only do this. So they were on them because of harvesting on the Sabbath. They're nitpicking. They're looking for anything they can do to accuse him or his disciples. Do you see what's going on? Do you see their heart? Do you see where their motives are? Are there people in the church that sometimes nitpick other people because they want to bring them down? It happens. Right? Well, that church does it that way, so they're wrong. If God leads them that way, if that's the Holy Spirit and how they lead them to worship that way, then worship that way. Praise him. We're different. We have different tastes, different styles. As long as the focus is Jesus, it's his Spirit leading it, who am I to judge them? As long as it's God leading it, not man. So they were eating the kernels, and the Pharisees were ripping on them. And Jesus answered them, have you never read where David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and taking the consecrated bread, he ate what is lawful only for the priest to eat, and he also gave some to his companions. Okay, why would he go to the Old Testament? Would the Pharisees and the teachers of the law know who King David was? Would they know this story? Would they understand? Absolutely. When you're trying to talk to somebody and help somebody understand a point, it's really helpful when you use something that they understand to prove that point. He's doing that with this Old Testament scripture. Okay? And what he's saying is, he's looking and he's showing them that David's heart was right when he did this. It would have been forbidden, but it was with the right heart. That's what made the difference, right? The law was to point people to God. Obedience is the right thing to do. Does everybody understand that? You're supposed to be obedient to the Lord. But there are circumstances when their heart, it was what their heart was about. You with me? So when the disciples did this, he's saying, look at their heart. He's comparing it to what King David did. It's something they understood, something they could grasp. Look what he says in verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. What is he saying here? He's saying he's the Lord of the Sabbath. What's his statement here? He's God. He's divine. He's sovereign. He has dominion even over the Sabbath. This is a huge statement. Again, he's proclaiming that he is the Messiah. He is proclaiming he is God. He is proclaiming he is sovereign right to their face. This is a huge deal. He's saying, I'm bigger than everything. I'm Lord over the Sabbath. I'm the one that created it. Do you hear what he's saying? Can you imagine how they're taking this? He's saying, I am Lord of the Sabbath. I am over your rituals. I'm bigger than your rituals and your traditions. The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Quickly, on another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was shriveled. I love reading Luke. He is so detailed. Do you see it? Right hand, he is so detailed. That's just his personality, his makeup. And as the Spirit was leading him, The Pharisees and the teachers of the law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. Do you see that? They were looking for a reason to accuse him. They weren't there to learn. They weren't there to study. They were there looking for a reason to accuse him. They were nitpicking. Do you know people watch you? If they know you're a Christian, they're watching you. You know that, right? Now, some of them will watch you because they want to learn. Some people watching you because they want to learn. Some people are watching you because they want to see if it's real for you. See if your face real for you, if it's just a joke, a Sunday morning. I'm a Sunday morning Christian, man. 9 to noon, I'm on. Or is it real to you? But there are some who are looking critically at you. They want you to fall. They want you to fail. And some of that is of the world, and some of that is in the church. There are people in the church that like to watch other people in the church fail because it makes them feel better, if we're just being honest. Because it makes them think that they're better. Self-righteousness. Tell me I'm wrong. Somebody tell me that that's not true. It happens, doesn't it? Should it? Absolutely not. So they were looking at him critically. They were waiting for him. They wanted him to fail. They wanted him to mess up. Now, of course, he didn't because he's God. They couldn't find any fault with him. So they were after the disciples if they could. But now they're here watching him again, and they're waiting to accuse him. Look at their heart. Look at their motives. The Pharisees and the teachers of law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Do you catch what they think is bad? Does anybody catch this? Massive. Do you remember at the beginning I said sometimes people, I think they start off with a good track, but they get things so messed up. They're so messed up. They're so confused in their head. All they see is the legalism. They can't see where it was supposed to point them. He's right in front of them. They're calling healing somebody evil. See if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking. How does he know what they're thinking? Because he's God. And said to the man with the shriveled hand, get up and stand in front of everyone. You got to like it. He wasn't going to do this secretly. It wasn't a hidden thing. He's like, stand up in front of everybody. Let's just get this out of the way. I added the last part. So he got up and stood there. And Jesus asked them, or Jesus said to them, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath? Listen, the Sabbath is a wonderful, sweet thing. It's good. It's very important. It's a day of remembrance. It's a day of rest. It's not a day of legalism. It's not to be a burden, it's to be a blessing, Henry Morris. It's not to be a burden, it's to be a blessing. The Sabbath is a day that is a great opportunity to serve, to be a blessing to others. Real quick, a quick side note. I know I'm late, but a quick side note. You know something that breaks my heart? I heard people talk, and they said that, you know what is one of the worst days for servers and waiters and waitresses? Sundays, because Christians aren't good tippers. That is horrendous. If you have the money to go out to eat, you better be a good tipper, because if anybody should be a good tipper, it should be the church. We should be the best tippers. Back off the side note. He said, I ask you, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, or to save a life or to destroy it? I hope that you know the answer to that. I believe he wants an honest answer from them. What he's trying to do, and I know I'm hurrying through this, but he wants them to check their heart. It's a heart thing. And he wants them to get it. He wants them to realize it. He cares about them. He wants them to be honest enough to look at their heart. We know what the answer to that is. At least I hope you all know what the answer to that is. He looked around at them all and then said to the man, stretch out your hand. That's all he had to do, say the word, stretch out your hand. He did so, and his hand was completely restored. Listen, the hand is so complex. It's amazing. The bones, the joints, the nerves, the tendons, the muscles. It's an amazing thing. And when it's all contractured up or all shriveled up, and all he has to do is speak a word, the King of Kings, the great physician, it's healed instantly. He's an awesome God. He did so, and his hand was completely restored. But they were furious. The word means insane rage. That's what the word, if you look back, the word furious, it means insane rage. They were insanely mad because he healed him on the Sabbath. But they were furious and began to discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. Quickly, let me read what Luke says it nicely. Listen to how Mark says it. Another time he went in the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts. Said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched out it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Okay, if you've been asleep, catch this point. They were so messed up. They were insanely mad and furious because he healed somebody on the Sabbath. So it was illegal to heal on the Sabbath, but it was okay to plot murder on the Sabbath. Think about it. It's okay to plot murder of an innocent man on the Sabbath, but you better not heal somebody. Do you see how twisted they are? How backwards? How could these are supposed to be the religious leaders. These are the guys. These are the doctors of the law. These are the religious leaders. These are the experts. How are they so messed up? How are they so messed up? Because they got off the plumb line. They got off the baseline. They got off the foundation. They're lost. They're confused. They took their eyes off of the goal and put it on man. It was self-righteousness. Done. I know it's 10:10. A couple quick points. I'll close up with prayer. Prayer is huge. James says this: the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly, and it would not rain. It did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Prayer is powerful because who we talk to. Fasting is powerful. It's to change us. To help us see things clearer. Prayer and fasting is so important. Point two, I want you to be aware and be alert when you start adding rituals and traditions on top of what the Bible says. Again, I believe obedience to what the Lord says, we do it because we love him. Not self-righteousness. Our righteousness comes from his blood. But we're obedient to him because we love him. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But you got to be careful, because sometimes what people do is they add all these traditions and all these laws and all these man-made things because they want to feel better about themselves. It's more about them than it is about him. And it becomes self-righteousness. Be careful. Be careful. Won't hang here long, but there are people out there that want to be critical. Look, I'm telling you this because I don't want you to be surprised. I read an article this last week or last 2 weeks, whatever. There was a group of Christian kids sitting around the table before prom. Anybody read this article? Sitting around before prom, eating dinner, and before they ate, they did what? They held hands and prayed. Somebody put it on Facebook. Guess what happened? They got lit up. The haters came out, ripping them apart because a bunch of kids were praying before dinner. Talked to a lady in the church last week or two, talking about she stood up for something that was right faith-based Christian right and got lit up by the haters. I'm telling you that because I don't want you to be surprised. It's coming. If they hated him, they're going to hate us. We stand for the truth in love and encourage. And not everybody's going to like it. They're not our enemies, but they are pawns of the enemy he used against us. Our battle isn't flesh and blood, it's the enemy. But he uses people as pawns. Time's sake, moving on, finishing up. Don't be Pharisees. Watch your heart, watch your motives, watch your agendas. Don't get so turned around that you call good evil and evil good. If it can happen to them, it can happen to us. Make sure you keep it right. It can't be about pride or prestige or money or power or the empty praise of men. It can't be. It's got to be more about the relationship than the religion. Do you hear that? I know you're zoning. I know it's 10:15. People are freaking out. It's past your capacity. I get it. I can see the looks. Listen to me. It's more about your relationship than it is the religion. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. Fasting, the Sabbath, it's to point us. It's to bring us to him. It's to get us closer, a near relationship. It's not legalism. Obedience, yes. Legalism, no. It's not self-righteousness. Be careful of the legalism and the man-made traditions. God's got to be the top priority. It can't be the man-made religion. It's got to be the relationship with the king. Don't be a Pharisee. Father God, I pray that it would be more about you and less about us. I pray, Lord, that we do things right and we handle things right and we handle them with the right attitude and right motive. I pray that we do the things we do to get closer to you, not to look better in our eyes than the world's eyes. Not to look better to the world, but to draw nearer to you. Help us to truly be your church. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the praise team comes up, I'm going to tell you one more quick story. I mentioned this last night, just to put some of it in perspective. We talked about last night about, coming to church on Sunday morning. You know, if you're driving down the road and you see a car accident and a guy's laying out there with a broken leg, should you stop and try to help him? Or should you say, oh, no, that would be like work, and I'm going to church because that's the right thing to do, and you leave him laying in the ditch, right? You would stop and help him, right? There are times that you make those decisions. But if you're doing it and you're saying, you know, I'm not going to church today because I'm going to plant some hostas. Different, isn't it? I'm not trying to step on toes, but if it steps on toads, it's out your amen. There's a difference between, hey, I'm going to help him out because he broke his leg and he's laying in the ditch. Or I'm going to skip because it's a sunny day. It's a heart thing, church. It's a heart thing. If you would, please stand. The altar is always open. I love that last line. Let us pray.